إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, Kitab Al-Buyu' باب في بيان البيوع المنهي عنها. We're going to continue reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi for our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. We're still within this section, volume 2 now on this book, the section of transactions, trade transactions. The second chapter in this section, which is, we're going to learn today about the prohibited trade transactions. In the first chapter, who can remind us what was the first chapter? About what? Ahkam al-Buyu', some rulings and regulations about transactions. Who can remind us of some of the points we covered on the alhamdulillah on the previous chapter? Naam, Muhammad.
The buyer and the seller have to have mutual consent.
Now, there is some conditions have to be fulfilled as related to the buyer and the seller, from them, as Muhammad mentioned, that they have to have mutual consent. No, they should not be forced. Now, what else? What are the things we covered? I'm Hassan.
That buying and selling is legislated.
Hassan. That buying and selling is legislated. It's therefore is permissible. Why?
Because Allah said it's
Hassan. We have ayah in the Quran. I know. Fadda. What else? Naam, Muhammad, Amin?
The ones the seller has to own the debtor.
Ahsant. When details from the conditions that have to be fulfilled is that the person who is about to sell any commodity or any product has to own it. Cannot sell something that he doesn't own. Otherwise, it's going to be problems. Mm-hmm. Chaos. You park your car, come pray Asr, go outside, it's sold. He's like, hey, it's sold, man. He's like, yeah. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't work like that, okay? Now, what else? Now, Amir.
If there's an item and the price is mentioned, and seller, buyer can put the price and get the item.
Ahsan, one of the ways that the transactions are concluded is without any verbal engagement. If the price is known, person give the money, and he's pleased with the product, take it and go. Now, what else? Now,
we mentioned one of the old methods.
Ahsant. Now, there is some of the old methods that the people used to do. Jahiliyyah. What are they? Who remember the names? Huh? Munabada. Ahsant. Munabada and Mulamasa. Ahsant. Munabada and Mulamasa. Now, and what else? What was the third one? Naam, Rahman. I'm giving you a hint.
Throwing
a stone. Bay' al-hasat. Al-hasat is a little pebble. Alright, طيب جزاكم الله خير بارك الله فيكم. We continue now. باب في بيان البيوع المنهي عنها. قال الشيخ في التمهيد: أباح الله سبحانه وتعالى لعباده البيع والشراء. البيع والشراء ما لم يترتب على ذلك تفويت لما هو أنفع وأهم، كأن يزاحم ذلك أداء عبادة واجبة، أو يترتب على ذلك إضرار بالآخرين. In small introduction, the Shaykh, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made trade permissible for his servants. Buying and selling and the like is permissible as long as it does not cause them to miss that is more useful and much important. You know, as long as it doesn't make them to miss that which is more important for them. Such example, he says, such as an obligatory act of worship. You cannot be busy with a trade and not fulfill one of the obligatory acts. Trade is also permissible so long as it does not cause any harm to others. Okay? So it does not cause any harm to others. على الشيخ فلا يصح البيع ولا الشراء. Now the Shaykh is going to begin to bring some example, details now. That yes, buying and selling is permissible, but however, it become forbidden under certain circumstances, okay? And he mentioned, now he's going to start mentioning. فَلَا يَصِحُّ الْبَيْعُ وَلَا الشِّرَاءُ مَنْ تَلْزَمُهُ مِمَّنْ تَلْزَمُهُ صَلَاةُ الْجُمُعَةِ بَعْدَ نِدَائِهَا الثَّانِي. It is not permissible for a Muslim upon whom Jumu'ah, Friday prayer, is obligatory to buy or sell after its second prayer call. After its second prayer call. Meaning that when the Imam gets in, that's when the Imam gets in to deliver the khutbah, then the call is made. Because there is a second adhan. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he's from the Khulafa al-Rashidun. In his time, when it was a lot of Muslims, the marketplace was crowded, people are busy with the trades and business, so he orders that a first adhan be called before the khatib comes in. And it may be half an hour or 25 minutes or something like that, Allahu A'lam. But it's before, so that the people get ready, so that the people get ready for the Jumu'ah. And the ulama, they said, since it is legislated, it was done by the Khalifa of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, and because there is a need for it. But that's not the adhan that the Shaykh is talking about. The adhan the Shaykh is talking about is the other adhan that is known to us. Because in many masajid, people do only one adhan. They call only one adhan, so that's the one the Shaykh is talking about when the Imam gets on a minbar, and then the Mu'addin called the adhan. One adhan, okay? طيب. So he says that's when if somebody is conducting any business, should stop at that moment, at the adhan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse number 9, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. All you who believe, or all you have believed, when the adhan is called for the prayer on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, on the day of Jumu'ah, Friday, the Jumu'ah, Friday, then proceed to the remembrance of Allah and leave trade. Then proceed to the remembrance of Allah and leave trade. And that is better for you if you only knew. And that is better for you if you only knew. Now, قال الشيخ حفظه الله فقد نهى الله سبحانه وتعالى عن البيع وقت النداء لصلاة الجمعة لئلا يتخذ ذريعة إلى التشاغل بالتجارة عن حضورها وخص البيع لأنه من أهم ما يشتغل به المرء من أسباب المعاش والنهي يقتضي التحريم وعدم صحة البيع. And the Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited trade when the prayer, when the call, the adhan is made for the Jumu'ah. If it's declared, less Muslims should be too busy with the trade to attend the prayer. But that's because it's going to keep them busy away. If they continue to conduct transactions, then khutbah is gone, most of it is gone, they still doing transactions. Allah has mentioned trade in particular, okay? Allah mentioned trade in particular as it is one of the most important worldly activities that occupies people's times. Now, and as most people, JazakAllah khair, as most people earn their living through trade, okay? The divine prohibition implies that trade is prohibited and invalid at such a time. You see? At such a time, meaning when the Jumu'ah prayer is due. And that's due at the time when the Adhan is called. When the Adhan is called. Now, قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ذلكم يعني الذي ذكرت لكم من ترك البيع وحضور الجمعة خير لكم من الاشتغال بالبيع إن كنتم تعلمون مصالح أنفسكم وكذلك التشاغل بغير البيع عن الصلاة محرم. In that same ayah inside al-Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, meaning referring to leaving trade and attending the Jumu'ah prayer, is better for you. Meaning leaving the trades and transactions, buying and selling, when the Adhan is called for Jumu'ah, it is better for you than being occupied with trade. If you only knew, meaning your own good and interests. Likewise, it is prohibited for a Muslim to be occupied with any worldly activity, not only trade, at the due time of Jumu'ah prayer. At the due time of Jumu'ah prayer. And you see the mistakes of some people, Allah al-Musta'an. They stay in their jobs, in their businesses, whatever they're doing. Some people even come early and they stay outside the masjid talking while the Adhan is called, the Imam is finished the first khutbah, they still out there talking or whatever they're doing. And that's not permissible. Should come and attend the Jumu'ah and sit and listen to the Khatib. قال وكذلك بقية الصلوات المفروضة لا يجوز التشاغل عنها بالبيع والشراء وغيرهما بعدما ينادى لحضورها في المساجد. The Sheikh says, likewise, it is impermissible for Muslims as well to let trade or any other worldly activity divert them from establishing obligatory prayers. Not just Jumu'ah, but the obligatory prayers as well. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. After hearing the prayer call, after hearing the Adhan. Once you hear the Adhan, you stop. Some of the Salaf, they mentioned, subhanAllah, they said, they be working, if they hear the Adhan, they stop. Somewhat so, he said that one of them, he used to work with the hammer. Whatever he used to be, maybe a blacksmith or something, he used to work with the hammer. He said when he used to put his arm up to hit and hear the Adhan, he would put it down. He won't even finish, he will hear it, he put it down. That's it, it's the Adhan now, it's the time for Salat. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, verses 36-38, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. And the Shaykh mentioned the ayat 36 through 38, in Surah An-Nur, he says, in houses, meaning in mosques, which Allah has ordered to be raised, and that His name be mentioned and praised, therein exalting Him within them in the mornings and the evenings, are men whom neither commerce nor sale distracts from the remembrance of Allah and performance of prayer and giving of zakah. They fear a day in which the hearts and eyes will fearfully turn about, that Allah may reward them according to the best of what they did, and increase them from His bounty. And Allah gives provision to whom He wills without account, meaning without limit. فهذا عن الجمعة وعن الصلاة. This was, as the Shaykh mentioned, the prohibitions of conducting trade transactions and anything else at the time of the Salah, when the call is called, whether for the obligatory prayers or for Jumu'ah. قال وكذلك لا يصح بيع الشيء على من يستعين به على معصية الله ويستخدمه فيما حرم الله. He mentioned another example of transactions that are prohibited. Likewise, he says, it is also illegal to sell anything which can be used for disobeying Allah. It is also illegal to sell anything which can be used for disobeying Allah and committing a sin. And committing a sin. فلا يصح بيع العصير على من يتخذه خمرا لقوله تعالى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان وذلك إعانة على العدوان. So it is illegal to sell, the Shaykh says, it is illegal to sell certain fruit juices to whoever uses them for making intoxicants. For the one who used them to make intoxicants, as it would be cooperation in sinning, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 2, but do not cooperate in sin and aggression. Do not cooperate in sin and aggression. Other books, the ulama, some of the ulama, they mention, they give an example, most obvious example is grapes. Al-inab. Because a certain people, they use the grapes to make what? Wines. To make wine. So they mention if someone has a farm, grapes are haram or halal? Huh? They're beautiful. I like grapes. You like grapes? Grapes are awesome, man. They're nice. Right, Hudhayfa? But now, it's permissible for a person to have a farm of grapes. It's okay, it's permissible. And sell them, give away in charity, alhamdulillah. Okay? But now somebody come to him and he knows they have a factory that produce what? Wine. Now he don't sell to them. He don't sell to them. Why? Because they Arabs, non-Arabs, black, white, what? Why he don't sell to them? Because they use it for haram. They're going to use it to make wine. They're not buying grapes and take it to, for example, to the market and people buy it. Huh? Okay, they're not freezing it and then people will have it later on, you know, as it is right now in our days. Do they have frozen grapes? I don't think so. Frozen grapes? Me personally, I never seen one.
It comes in the mixed fruit bags.
They came in mixed fruit bags? I think those are berries.
Raspberries,
grapes. Cranberries, cranberries. Anyway, maybe you'll find out, okay? So, you don't sell that, that person doesn't sell the grapes if he knows that those people, they're going to use it for haram, for wine and the like, okay? طيب وكذلك لا يجوز ولا يصح بيع سلاح So he said this kind of sale is considered cooperation in aggression. Okay? كذلك لا يجوز ولا يصح بيع سلاح في وقت الفتنة بين المسلمين لئلا يقتل به مسلم وكذا جميع آلات القتال لا يجوز بيعها في مثل هذه الحالة لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن ذلك ولقوله تعالى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. Similarly, Muhammad, tell them they can fix the door, but they just keep their voices down, please. Jazakallah khair. Now, so he says, similarly, it is illegal to sell weapons, armaments, and munitions at the time of fitna, dissension amongst Muslims. You see? Now there is problems, fitna going on between Muslims. Now it becomes impermissible to sell arms, munitions, weapons. Why? He says, lest they may be used for killing Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ said, because the Prophet ﷺ forbade that. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited Muslims to do so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the very ayah and verse we mentioned earlier, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and do not cooperate in sin and aggression. And he mentioned, and he, aggression, yes. It's the same thing. They're synonyms. They're synonyms, yes. Right? They're two synonym words, yeah. No. But it's good to ask. That's how you know. Jazakallah khair. If you don't know something, guys, ask. Be like Brother Shuaib. Don't be afraid to ask, okay? And keep in mind, I may say something that I'm supposed to say too. Okay, I'm a human. Now, so, alhamdulillah. All right, now you Shuaib, where I'm at now? Ahsan, now, jazakallah khair. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله لأن الشيخ mentioned the statement of ابن القيم قال ابن القيم رحمه الله كما في حاشية الروض المربع لابن قاسم قد تظاهرت أدلة الشرع على أن القصود في العقود معتبرة وأنها تؤثر في صحة العقد وفساده وفي حله وحرمته فالسلاح يبيعه الرجل لمن يعرف أنه يقتل به مسلما حرام باطل لما فيه من الإعانة على الإثم والعدوان وإذا باعه لمن يعرف أنه يجاهد في سبيل الله فهو طاعة وقربة وكذا لا يجوز بيع سلاح لمن يحاربون المسلمين أو يقطعون به الطريق لأنه إعانة على معصية انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. You mentioned a statement of Ibn al-Qayyim. It is in connection with this point. He mentioned all legal proofs demonstrate that the validity and legality and permissibility of a sale are also affected by intentions and usage, by how it's used for. If you know that someone is using it for, if you know the purpose behind that. For example, Ibn al-Qayyim says, for example, one is prohibited from selling someone a weapon if one knows that he would use it for killing a Muslim. Okay? For killing a Muslim. As this is considered cooperation in sin and aggression. In sin and aggression. If a Muslim sells a weapon to someone who fights in the cause of Allah, it is considered for the seller a sign of obedience and devotion to Allah. That's a good thing. On the other hand, it is impermissible to sell weapons to those who fight Muslims or those who use them for highway robbery, as it is regarded as cooperation in sin. You know, someone is a thief or a bad person, you don't sell them weapons. You give an example, someone who's selling knives, for example, in this market or whatever. Alright? He's selling knives. Is selling knives haram?
No.
It's permissible. People, they use knives for what? For cooking. Cooking.
Camping.
Cooking.
Fishing.
Cooking.
Slaughtering animals.
Slaughtering animals. Cooking. Hunting. How do you hunt with a knife? Who is this animal that's going to just sit right there? They fast. How are you just going to... The animal... That deer is going to come and say, hey, man, you couldn't find a gun. Yeah, I'm going to wait for you with your knife.
No, you need to skin him.
Ah, okay, well, skinning, not hunting. Hunting is different, Jamal. Hunting is catching. But skinning is different. That's after the fact. Correct me if I'm wrong. When someone says hunting, what do you mean? Meaning that what you use to catch the animal. No, you can use a knife. You throw it. Well, you gotta keep doing a lot of throwing then. Maybe me. Listen. Use a knife to cut a watermelon, man, you know? A nice cake. Okay? Alright. But however, this guy is selling knives. And in the same market, he was selling. He sold a couple for people. No problem. But then a fight broke out. A fight broke out. Huh? And here one guy coming with his blood in his eye. Give me a knife. How much is it? He sell him or not? No, he don't. I got no knife for you, man. The man is fighting. You think he's going to go and cut a cake with that knife? La. At that moment, you don't sell him no knife, okay? No. قال ولا يجوز another point also لا يجوز بيع عبد مسلم لكافر إذا لم يعتق عليه لما في ذلك من الصغار وإذلال المسلم للكافر وقد قال الله تعالى كما في سورة النساء ولن يجعل الله للكافرين على المؤمنين سبيلا سبيلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام يعلو ولا يعلى عليه الحديث أخرجه الدارقطني وقد حسنه الإمام الألباني رحمه الله تعالى في صحيح الجامع نعم I think there is a paragraph that is missing. Wallahu a'lam. There is a paragraph that is missing in the translation. Okay, I couldn't find it in the translation, but it is in the Arabic. Because from that one, they went straight to what they say. They say Muslims are not permitted as well to cancel the sales of one another, right? Yes. But before that, they didn't translate this paragraph that it's not permissible to sell a Muslim slave to a kafir, to a non-Muslim. Do you have it in your translation, your book? Do you have it? Anybody has it? But it's not in the translation. So take note of that and write it, those who have a copy of the English translation. For whatever reason, maybe they forgot, Allahu A'lam, maybe they used another edition, Allahu A'lam. Think good about them. But however, it is not in here that the Shaykh said it is not permissible also if a person have a Muslim slave, cannot sell it to a kafir, to a non-Muslim. Because that's a disgrace to the Muslim. Even if he's a slave, alhamdulillah, look at the beauty of Islam. Even that person is a slave, but that's a disgrace. A Muslim cannot serve a kafir. Okay? And you mentioned the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 141. وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ السَّبِيلَ. That's the last the ayah is longer than this, but that's the last part of the ayah 141. And Allah will not, you know, and never will Allah grant to the disbeliever a way over the believers. There's no way to triumph over the believer. And also the Prophet ﷺ says, Al-Islamu ya'lu wa la yu'la alayh. Islam is on the top. You know, so Muslims should not be disgraced by the non-Muslim. Al-Islamu ya'lu wa la yu'la alayh. You don't lower yourself for a non-Muslim or the like. You know, you work for a non-Muslim. If you need a job and you find a job with a non-Muslim, you work for them, but you don't disgrace yourself. You know, you're a Muslim. Don't beg and cry and this. Tell them I can't do anything. No, you're a Muslim. Aynam. ثم قال ويحرم. So that's when a paragraph here or something is missing. No. قال ويحرم الشيخ منسن ويحرم بيعه على بيع أخيه المسلم. كان يقول لمن اشترى سلعة بعشرة أنا أعطيك مثلها بتسعة أو أعطيك خيرا منها بثمنها. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض. متفق عليه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يبيع الرجل على بيع أخيه. كذلك متفق عليه. Also from the transaction that are forbidden in Islam, the Muslims are not permitted to cancel the sales of one another. For example, the Shaykh said, for example, a Muslim seller may say to a customer who has paid £10 or $10, let's say $10, for an item for another seller, I can sell you a similar price for only £9 or $9. You see? So he's right there. They say they're selling clothing, they have clothing department. Alright, and he see his brother, the Muslim, then his neighbor who sells clothes is Muslim, and then he just conducted and concluded a transaction with someone who came buy something for $10. And then he tell that person, hey, listen, I can sell it to you. I got the same thing, sell it to you for $9. Can't do that. You can't do that, okay? Or, huh?
I'm sorry, can you repeat me?
For example, there's two Muslims, they're selling clothes.
No.
Selling clothes, for example, right? And then, here is another person came to buy, and he went to one of them. The other one is watching. So the other guy say, how much? He's like 10. $10. All right, put it in the bag for me. Then the other guy who has the store, he says, hey, listen, man, I can sell you the same thing for $9. So that the person, he will, hey, you know what? Take your stuff, man. Give my money back. Why? Well, this guy's going to sell it. Oh, subhanAllah. They go on the same masjid. See how he's going to bring problems and chaos and this and that. Another example, okay, he will say to him, for example, I can sell you a better one for the same price. He will like, how much he pay? $50? SubhanAllah, that's a bootleg. For instance, it's not even true, man. I got the original one, man. I got the real deal for the same price. It's your choice, man. You see? It's not permissible. This is prohibited because the Prophet ﷺ said, you must not try to cancel the sales of one another. See, they made a sale, they made a sale. If he comes to you after that and say, how much? Say, hey, that's how I pray. Why your difference? He says, that's different, mashallah. That's how I sell for. No.
In other words, you can't undercut your brother.
That's what they mean, yes. That's another term, undercut. That's probably the most useful term in our in these times. You just you want to say something, Luqman?
This is after the transaction concluded.
No. After the transaction is concluded. And also the Prophet ﷺ says, a Muslim must not try to cancel the sales of his Muslim brother. Don't undercut them, you know. طيب. وَكَذَا يَحْرَمُ شِرَاؤُهُ عَلَى شِرَائِهِ كَانْ يَقُولَ لِمَنْ بَاعَ سِلْعَتَهُ بِتِسْعَةَ أَشْتَرِيهَا مِنْكَ بِعَشَرَةَ. Likewise, it is not permissible for a Muslim to do it the other way also, to cancel the purchase of one another. For instance, a Muslim buyer may say to a seller who has sold another Muslim a commodity for £9, I can buy it for 10. You see? He just, now instead to go, so in the first example, he goes to the buyer. Said, look, man, I got something better than that for this same price. Now he's going to go to the seller. Okay? Nina.
So he can't go to the seller and say, I understand that, but he can't go to the seller and say, I bought this over there for this price and you're selling it for this price.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're saying?
No, that's not what we're saying. It's not what we're saying. That's why I give an example to make it clear. We have two sellers, two people that are selling a merchandise. In the first example, one person came to buy. He didn't buy from both of them. He buy from the first store. He buy a merchandise for $10. Okay? Now the other person who owned the other store, and they're Muslims, he will tell the buyer, how much you sell, buy that for? 10. I can sell it to you for 9. You see? In the other example, now the one who sells, نعم, وَكَذَا يَحْرَمُ شِرَاؤُهُ عَلَى شِرَائِهِ كَأَنْ يَقُولِ مَنْ بَاعَ سِلَعَتَهُ بِتِسْعَ أَشْتَرِيهَا مِنْكَ بِعَشَرَةَ. For example, here's a person now, he wants to buy two. There's two buyers. So he will look in and he find this man, he just bought something for $9. He will go to the one who just conduct the transaction and say, hey, I can buy it for 10. So he's giving him what? A dollar more. Hey, no. No. Wafikum barak. Because he can't do these things. No.
Is that just verbal? I mean, for instance, if two people are selling right next to each other, one has a sign, they're selling the same thing for 10, the other one has it for 9. If whoever they choose, that's up to them.
That's up to them.
Just
no.
Verbal.
No. That's okay. If they have signs and the person he see 9 and see 10 and still wants to go for 10, it's okay. Maybe he has a reason why he's going for 10. Maybe this person, he knows the merchandise, that the one for 10, he knows why that person have it for 10, not for 9. Because sometimes the merchandise may look the same, but it's not the same, you know? Different brands, and okay? Even the material that is made of. Sometimes you go and buy a t-shirt, a white tee. Some of them are $3, and some are $20. $10. So that's a big difference. And somebody may can ask, he may be like, hey, why are you selling it for 10 and he's selling only for 3? Then he will say, hey, I got them for 3 too. You want those for 3? Like he does, I got them. But they're different. Look at the material. This one is from there's more cotton. Look, this one's for 3, they got like 10% cotton. This one's at 70% or something like that, okay? So the merchandise is different. Of course, now here we're not talking about the merchandise itself, because a person has to fear Allah too and not take advantage of the people. Okay, so that's why I said you got to pay attention to the wordings, because this chapter here and this section is vast. Alright? So we're talking about certain specific terminologies, okay? So it's not about the material that is made or this. Yes, it's not permissible for a Muslim to take advantage of people who are ignorant of the merchandise and take advantage of them and sell them something for I don't know what, or the other way around. Sometimes people in need, they're in dire need. This old lady, she don't know. She don't even know how to turn the computer on. But somebody gave her a computer. Now she's in need. She want to sell that laptop. Still brand new. And just because she don't know, now the man will, I give you $10 for it. $10. Is there a laptop somewhere for $10? A broken laptop is not $10. So now because that lady, she don't know, and she tell him, look, man, I'm just selling because I'm behind in the rent. He's like, well, listen, I take it for 10. That's not from the good manners of a Muslimin. Now he will look at it and he say, look, man, this computer, it's like it looks brand new. He's like, yeah, somebody gave it to me. I have it for a couple of months. I don't know how to turn it on. I kept it in the box. Okay, so... Well, usually they sell brand new for... He will go, if somebody, he go on the internet, look at the serial number, for example. You know, it's not about just making money. It's about doing good deeds and helping one another. That's what Islam is about, okay? Islam teaches us good manners. And he will go and like, hey, this is brand new. It costs like $479. And of course, if she want to go to the same, to Walmart or... What is the other one? The sale,
Best Buy,
for example. Best Buy, it says they're not going to take it from you, period. They may not. So, unless if you have receipt, yes. They give you the money back.
Undercut the price, so you want to take it
back. Yes, and then he may say, yeah, you have a receipt. Oh, yeah, hey, oh, well, Best Buy, you get better money. Take it back to them, get your money. But anybody else, they're not gonna try to get you a lot because they're gonna. But me, I can take it for $350, for example, you know, because I want to make some money. I cannot sell it for $479 because it's already used out there and the like. You see, but you don't take advantage of people. Don't take advantage of people. Alhamdulillah, Islam teaches us these good manners and morals that we should use. It's not just about being greedy. Oh, nice, an opportunity. No, it's an opportunity to do good. And then that person is going to say, SubhanAllah, this person could have taken advantage of me. You see? And they make dua for you. What about later on find out the scam and start making dua against the person? Is it worth it? So it's not worth it. No, it's fine.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
أشهد أن لا
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
قال الشيخ حفظه الله وكم يحصل اليوم في أسواق المسلمين من أمثال هذه المعاملات المحرمة فيجب على المسلم اجتناب ذلك والنهي عنه وإنكاره على من فعله and then the Sheikh after he mentioned some examples of these prohibited transactions that take place he said many of these transactions that are forbidden and haram are taking place in the markets among the Muslims amongst Muslims أين They just don't know. And...
Huh? Yeah,
wait, we finish, inshallah. Okay. So he said, the Shaykh, he says, SubhanAllah, these forbidden transactions, they're happening in the markets among the Muslims. So it is incumbent upon the Muslim to avoid these things. And it is incumbent upon those who know such things to command good and forbid the evil. If you find someone who doing these things, you tell them, no, ya akhi, you can't do that. It's not permissible. You know, if a person come to you, you sell to them what you sell. And that's it. But you're not going to go to people, hey, what do you buy? They say, well, how much? I can give. Oh, I could give it to you for... Now you're going to have a fight. You can't do these things. That's why it's important for anyone, before they start a business or anything, they have to learn these guidelines. Some people, they have no clue whatsoever about, no knowledge, they don't learn anything about starting a business, how to conduct transactions, what is the transaction that are forbidden. They don't. They just want to make money. And they just go there, day in, they think just because they make more money, that's good for them. Now, what's good for you is when you abide by the rulings and the regulations of Islam. The rulings and the regulations of Islam. That's why it's important to learn, ya akhwan, knowledge is important. Before you start any business, you got to learn these chapters. Digest them. Understand them correctly. So before you make any transaction, cut any deal, you have to make sure that this is permissible. Otherwise, it's going to be haram, wal-iyadu billah. That's Allah, salam al-afiyah. We stop here, we continue next. ويك إن شاء الله هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا نعم